We individualize training in the pool, so why not individualize your nutrition? Erica Biney of Biney Wellness Building will help you and your swimmers get exactly what each athlete needs through genetic testing and personalized nutrition plans. So stop guessing what you should and shouldn't be putting into your body. Athletes within a few weeks have noticed they're recovering faster because they're fueling their body with what they need and staying away from what their body hates. Erica understands swimming. She gets it. She's worked with over 20 Olympians, including the fastest man in the world, Caleb Dressel. Group discounts are available, so go to Biney Wellness Building and get in touch with Erica today. That's Biney, B-E-I-N-E, wellnessbuilding.net.
Hey guys, I've been trialing some revolutionary new swim tech, and now you can get your hands on it too. This is EO Swim Better, a swimming evolution in the palm of your hands. Improve your technique with EO Swim Better.
Analyze your stroke technique with EO's Swim Better handset. Go to eolab.com, use code Brett at checkout and save 10%. All right, man, this one's exciting. Leaky Prema, how are you doing, man?
I'm as good as usual. So it's nice to be here.
I love it, man. Listen, you're my first Indian podcast, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here, honestly. It's like a dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I have a huge following in India, by the way.
Oh, I do. You're right. I have a massive following in India, and I want to get out there one day. So maybe this will be a Kickstarter to me coming out, you know?
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Now, listen, we met at the World Championships a couple of weeks ago in Doha, and we just hit it off, man. We're friends for life now.
Friends for life. Yeah, it was a very unexpected meet. Honestly didn't see you right behind me, and yeah, it turned out to be a great day that day.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun too. We went on camels together. We went out in the ocean. We raced each other in the ocean. Just got to know each other. But yeah, man, listen, I really want to dig into your swimming in India. Most of my followers who aren't Indian don't know much about India, don't know much about swimming in India. You're the fastest swimmer, national record holder, primarily breaststroker, right? 101 in the 100 breasts now. That's
correction. I'm not the national record holder in the 100 breaststroke.
You're not?
I'm not. Yeah. It's 100.97. It was held by Sandeep Sejwal. Mm. Yeah. So not yet. Yeah.
We got to get you there, man.
Definitely 100%.
But you're the fastest, 50 breaststroker?
No, I'm the current fastest breaststroker.
Yeah.
So this was actually, the record stood in 2009, actually. Since then, nobody has broke it. Yeah.
Superstar era, yeah. Well, listen, tell us about swimming in India, man. First of all, how did you get into swimming?
So, So let me start from all the way back. So one thing that you have to know that, India is, I think, 70% rural and 30% of the India is only urbanized. So swimming is not a lifestyle to a lot of them. So it's a premium. So many don't have access to the pools back over here, back in India. So you don't see people pursuing swimming quite common. So how I got through was just by luck, by chance. There was a pool just close by, and my health was not right when I was like 4 years old. So I think swimming would have been a best option at that moment. So somebody advised my parents, hey, there's a pool over here, just throw your kid in it. And that's how I got in there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And so when you say 70% rural, and 30% urban, we're talking about a billion people, right?
Yeah, so there are 1.4 billion people. And
1.4 billion.
Yeah, it's more than China right now. Whereas in China, actually, it's the opposite. So it's 70% urban, whereas the 30% is rural.
Right.
So they have a lot of access to good infrastructure over there.
So in terms of growing up in that 30%, let's say, and access to pools, would you say that you're privileged in a way to be able to at least have access to a pool?
Yes. Right now in India, if you see, I think there are maybe 150 to 200 fully functional 50 meter swimming pools across, in which I think maybe around like 30% is only competitive basis, whereas rest like 70% is just for like public swimming. So not many people have the knowledge of, you know, like swimming can be a sport, and it's not even a life skill right now. It's like people don't go into the pool knowing that, hey, I can learn swimming over here. There's no education as of, so aquatic education is quite low over here in India.
Now, is there high cases of drowning, whether that be in the oceans, lakes, or pools?
Yes, there are high cases of drowning. I think there are like 300,000 per year.
300,000 drownings.
Drownings per year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's in the lakes. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, the surface area of it's like a funnel system, basically. So, out of it, only 30% has access to the pools, out of which I think only the privileged and the middle class families get access to it. So, for example, let's say like a fee structure in the swimming pool right now is around like 5,000 rupees per month. That's like close to $80 to $90, which many of the families cannot afford that here in India, because the average salary for me, like right now, my salary, I'm working in the Indian Navy. So right now my salaries range around like 550 to 600 in this range. So many of the families out here, you know, are not able to afford even the good sporting structure, because the sport is not included in colleges, schools, or even the university levels. It's mostly club based.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow. I mean, a lot to unpack here. You said you're in the Navy. You support yourself. You are a professional swimmer as well. You compete at the highest level. Like you said, fastest swimmer in India in breaststroke right now, 101, but you're working full time and you're in the Navy, right?
Yeah, I'm in the Navy, but I don't really have to go do my job right now, because we have some good support system from the central government for us to, you know, just go out there and compete. Only when our performance is dropping, we'll be called back into our stations. That's how it works. We do have central government jobs, which are, you know, providing for the athletes over there. But, you know, not everybody is lucky enough to land that job right now. So most of them are supported by their own families. Some of us, I'm also supported by one of the non-profit organization, which is called as Go Sports. So they collect the CSR funds from a lot of private companies, and they allocate these funds to selected athletes out there.
Right. Talk to us a little bit about India's, let's say, Olympic history in swimming. I don't know much about the Olympic history for India. Give me some insight.
So we currently have only two swimmers in our history who have hit the A qualifying time and qualified for the Olympics. This happened in the last Olympics, which was the Tokyo Olympics. Apart from that, everybody who has ever been to the Olympics has been through a wildcard entry.
Okay. So,
And at the Olympics, we have not qualified for the semifinals yet. And even at the World Champs as well, we have not come up to the semifinal stage as well.
Wow. Now, obviously, in terms of Indian swimming at the highest level, they want that, and they're maybe seeking that. What type of programs are put in place right now to maybe move to the next step? Do you see them making progress in wanting to have an Olympic semifinalist, Olympic finalist? Is there a pathway towards that?
Actually, fun fact, I think this was the first year, just I think 3 days ago, we got a calendar written down for this year. So we had the competitions, the target competition, which the federation had provided, which had not happened anytime ever before. So this was the first time. And right now, And again, this is the first time in the history of India they got in a foreign coach. He signed up, I think, just a week ago, maybe. He's Chris Martin. He's from the US. So they got him. He's pretty good, but he's a old school coach, I would say. He's probably good for the 2008 Olympics. He's coming down and laying some pathways, like national development programs for us Indians right now. We'll see where it get there. I think we do have an LTAD program, which the Federation had put forward, but I'm sure that most of the swimming pools out there don't follow it, because I think the coaches are not well educated over here. I think around like 80% of the swimmers of the new LTS program, which is happening here in India right now, the kids are launched into the pool and, you know, it's and just left to survive. You know, that's how the teaching is happening. And the rest 20% right now is, OSWIM certified centers, which the Learn to Swim is happening pretty good over there. But foundation-wise, I would say there is nothing solid as of now when it comes to competitive. So we're looking forward. I mean, we're hoping to see, the private organizations coming up arranging something for us Indian swimming, and probably, like, you know, get coaches like you, Sonny, and Dean to get here and, you know, do some magic for our country.
Yeah, I'd like that, man. I'd love to come out there and have some influence. It sounds like you're, you know, going with an old school approach of like, let's get some kilometers into the Indian swimmers, you know, let's get them swimming as much as possible.
Yeah, that's right. I think, yeah.
Well, there are certainly different ways to do it, but, well, that's incredible. So in terms of, you know, when you were thrown into the pool and you started, what was your progression to get to an international stage? Tell me about that, just general progression.
So I started swimming when I was 5. Again, we never had any proper LTS program that we followed. So basically, we were thrown in at the deep end. We started off with the baby pool, you know, and then we're thrown at the deep end and made to survive. We were not taught the basic skills of buoyancy or even like proper techniques of kicking. As such, we just went through the age group stage. And I think so. One thing about here in India is that, you know, every club you go to, there's lots of people swimming. So there are lots of talent out there. So amongst those talent, you know, let's say every summer camp, you have like 3,000 kids joining each club. Out of them, I think like 100 of them will progress to the pre-competitive. And I was amongst them. And amongst the 100, maybe just 2 get to the state level. And then after that, just 1 gets to national level. So I was quite lucky in that terms. So one thing that we have to understand is that there's a lot of filtration system over here when it comes to the athletes. We have a lot of, so we are like very caste dominated, and so the caste system really, really pushes intellectual over physical strengths. So we have a huge cultural blockage over here, where the parents want the kids to study rather than do any physical activity. So so out of these 3,000 kids, only 50 of them progress to the competitive swimming after 16. So it gets really easy for us to compete at national levels over here. It's quite all right for us to qualify for the international levels, but right now it's been tough. It's been the standards have gone high because they're bringing in the qualification standards and everything. So the first time I made my first international, I think I was 14. It was the World School Games. It's a small international meet, but it's quite big here in India. So yeah, I mean that was the progress towards my competitive swimming.
Wow. Now, when you make these international teams, are you fully funded for these? Like, let's say the World Championships in Doha, was that fully paid for you?
No, that was not funded. It was self-funded. We had to pay $1,500 to be there. I think never in the history of Indian swimming they have funded us for the World Championship. They only fund us for the games, which is the Asian Games, Commonwealth Games, and the Olympic Games. Apart from that, the recent competition which I swam, the Asian Age Group, that is one competition that our federation funds. But apart from that, I don't think they fund any other competitions, so we have to bear it.
Wow.
So
So
that's how it works.
you're either saving your own money or you're doing some fundraising to get to the World Championships?
Get to the World Championship, and it's like if we only are given like 10 days of notice that we have to arrange like 1,500 USD, which is a lot of money for us in Indian currency. And if you are not paying within the deadline, the next in line goes, the one who's able to pay. So
Oh, wow.
that's how qualification standards
Wow.
hierarchy.
Now, the other thing you told me in terms of swimming at the national level, you have to go through the state championships, and you have how many different states in India would you say there are?
Oh yes. So we have 28 states in India.
28. Okay.
Yes. Out of which, yeah, this I wanted to, again, like there's a huge filtration system again happening over here. So we have around maybe let's say in an event we have around like just 30 or 40 kids competing in one event. Let's say the 100 freestyle. So out of which only two swimmers per state will get to qualify for the nationals.
Right.
So only the top two will qualify and compete at the nationals. We don't have like a time where everybody who does the time, like how it works in the US, everybody goes to the nationals. No, it doesn't work like that. The top two medal winners gets to the nationals. So at nationals, let's say of 100 freestyle, you just have like a maximum of three heats over there. And not more than that, three to four.
Right.
Again, so there's a huge filtration happening over here right now again.
But it's not necessarily the fastest swimmers in the country because it's not based on a
No.
qualification time. So, like, you could have the 10 fastest swimmers in the country from one state, but
One
only two of
state,
them are going to go through, yeah?
And that's
Wow.
what's happening. So this the state I'm in right now, Karnataka, Bangalore. This is the hub for Indian swimming. Most of the athletes all across India trains here in Karnataka because the weather is pretty good. India is pretty diverse. So in the north, it gets extremely hot and extremely cold. And we are not, our infrastructure is not advanced enough that the pools have heating systems back there in the north. And even in the south, we only just few pools have it. So the pools are shut down for 6 months straight. So all the athletes migrate here and train here in Bangalore. So it's the hub for Indian swimming, and swimming has grown here in Bangalore. So most of the fast swimmers are from here, and especially in age group category. So the top five will usually be from Bangalore, and out of them, just two get to compete at the national level.
Wow. Now, that's interesting, crazy, but interesting. Different system for sure. And it's not my job to criticize whether it's good or bad. It is what it is. I think they could do it better, from my opinion, but that's interesting. And then where are the top pool? Which is the top pool in India, you would say, to race in, to compete in? What's the number one pool?
Okay, so we have, I think, maybe two or three indoor pools. So one is in Delhi, which is the stadium built for the Commonwealth Games in 2010. And we have not had that's the best pool to race in. I think that can seat around maybe like 20,000 in the audience. And we have not even had even a single senior nationals over there. They just conduct the junior level competitions over there, but not the senior level. And there's a new infrastructure which came up in Odisha, which is another indoor 50 meter pool. So I would say these two are the top facilities in India. And we do have one here in Bangalore, which is an outdoor 50 meter pool. The facilities are pretty good as well. But again, the races which happen, all our nationals are held in a very, very subpar swimming pool with the diving blocks are just what do you say? They're manually attached, they're manually fit, and they're welded. So the infrastructure where our nationals happen, it's not the best. It's not the best of the best pool they conduct. And even yeah, so the best pools in India are left unused right now, and it's only given the juniors are given a lot of preference. The age group swimming in India is pretty big actually. People prefer a lot more of age group swimming. There's a lot more meets for the age groupers than when you compare to 18 and above. So we 18 and above, we just have one competition in a year. That's our senior nationals, and that's about it. That's what we race, just one competition, and that competition is not held in the best pool.
Man, I would imagine there's so much talent over there. Even 30% of 1.4 billion is a lot of people, you know? So the
It
amount
is a
of
lot.
talent that is around the pools, I must imagine there's a lot of people slipping through the cracks, you know, and just not going on to progressing to becoming as good as they could be for sure, right? But and like you said, there's a lot of social pressures. At what age do they say, what's the dropout rate? At what age do they say, like, academically, you've got to start to really put more time and attention here?
I think I would say 17. 17 would be the dropout rate. If you see the national level lineup right now, it's just consists of swimmers who are under 20 in the finals. That would make the majority of the swimmers. So usually after the 12th, the high school, the dropout rate is pretty huge because culturally the parents just want their swimmers just want their kids to just pursue engineering or medical because that's where they see their child settling their life, but not through sport. So and it's very hard for a swimmer after 18 to support himself. So I would say like 17, 18, they're done. Like my sister is pretty good. She's also pretty good breaststroke. She's 17 and she's on the verge of quitting swimming because there's not a good system in place for them to pursue a sport.
Wow. You must be really rare then, man. How old are you now?
I'm 26 right now. I'll be turning
Wow.
26.
26. You must be like the old man when you're around the pool. They're like, oh, there's Leaky the old man.
I think we are the seniors right now. Like rest of them are pretty much like kids around us. And they're learning from us, and that's what we are here for. We are trying to like educate the parents that there is life even with swimming. There are other job opportunities out there. Like you can be a swim coach or an SNC trainer or a nutritionist, psychologist. There are so many things connected to sport you can do rather than just just being an engineer or an MBA student or a doctor. So we need a huge cultural shift with that has to happen. And that can only happen when prominent athletes go out there and talk about their sport a lot.
Did you study in college?
I did study in college. I did my undergrad here in India itself, but I did my master's back in the US in Division II college, University of Indianapolis. So I took part in the Division II Nationals. And I think that was the best 2 years of my swimming career, honestly. It was so much fun. And I think everybody here from India has to experience that, because we don't have anything, not even anything close to that over here in India.
Wow. How did you make that decision? You know, you're in India, you're studying. You know, what was the first initial thought of like going to America and getting a master's degree?
Again, my parents or any of my friends were not in that NCAA, didn't know much about how to apply for the universities as of such. So if I knew known earlier, I would have probably applied for my undergrad. Actually, the way I applied was through two of my friends from Uzbekistan. There was a small incident which happened over there, and I helped them out with the incident, and they actually were really nice to me. They explained to me about they wanted me to explore the US, and they told me about how it works over there, and they gave me that knowledge. And eventually one thing led to another, and they spoke to a few universities, and then I got there. I got there. Wow. And competed at the US. And there are now swimmers going and swimming in undergrad in the US. But again, it's very less.
Yeah. Well, good for you, man. Like, you're a trailblazer in many respects, you know, like you're a working man, you're in the military, an educated man, and you're an athlete, you know, and you're showing the Indian culture that you can be all those things, you know. And why do you continue to swim now? What do you get out of it personally?
I think it's just pure passion, you know. First thing I wake up in the morning is it's a good habit that I develop myself, and a healthy way of living, and I just love the sport more than anything. And what the sport has provided me throughout these years, it's helped me travel a lot, meet a lot of new people. And I don't think this would happen otherwise. It's super rare for people to, you know, get this much of exposure and experience from other forms of life. And I think swimming just, gave me that way, and I'm so grateful, and I love it every single day. I look forward to I think that's keeping me going as of now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the day I met you, you got to do a workout with world record holder Ilya Shumanovich.
I know, Ilya Shumanovich. How many people get to do that?
Not many, man. So that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. That's it's full of surprises, I would say. Yeah. Like, every day you wake up, you don't know what's gonna be next, and I think that drives me every single day.
Former swimmers looking for a way to give back to the sport in New York City, reach out to Imagine Swimming. Since 2002, they've been the premier learn to swim school with international and American staff, including Olympic champions Anthony Irvin and Eric Vint. Imagine Swimming offers infant to adult classes, plus competitive team options, water polo, and an artistic swimming club coached by an Olympic silver medalist. With flagship locations across Manhattan and Brooklyn, Imagine is always looking for the next generation of swimmers to pass on their knowledge and passion for swimming.
Tired of settling for less than the best with your team's dryland program? Swimstrong Dryland is the answer you've been looking for. With world-class dryland programming for every age group, customized to fit your team's needs, nutritional coaching and education centered on the latest evidence-based research, leadership training and character development to promote an athlete-driven culture, sports psychology education and mental skills training, coaches' corners to promote collaboration, data-driven performance analysis, and an unrivaled family of athletes, coaches, and teams, fast swimming starts here.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're at the World Championships, you do this workout with Ilya, and then a week or so later, you're at another competition and you swim your best time. Is that random, or you think it's connected?
Honestly, I have no clue. Okay, how I got my best time, because at the World Champs, I didn't swim that great. I was like 1.5 seconds off my personal best. And I think, like, you know, spending time with you, Sonny, and Ilya, just, you know, showing me that, you know, swimming is just more than just the times and medals. And it's and that experience, you know, I actually carried it throughout. And the next week, I was so motivated to train. And I stopped thinking about the times or the medals which I'm going to clock at the next meet. I was just excited about, you know, sharing my journey, which I had with you, Sonny, and Ilya over there with the other swimmers, and telling, like, you know, explaining how swimming can be good and, you know, they can experience a lot of things. I was caught up in that moment, and I think it just happened. I think the best races happen when it's unexpected. Yeah. I think moment happened for me. And I was super happy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was so happy to see you on the podium smiling and just so proud of yourself. And so, I mean, again, you're a role model, man, for millions of young Indian swimmers. You know, it's like people are going to look up to you. You're blazing a trail for the next generation, for the future. Like I said, you know, athletes who are multifaceted, you know, they've got jobs, they've got education, they've got careers and athleticism. So it's like you're showing the next generation that you can compete at an older age, you can be successful in life, and just enjoy swimming, man. It's really fun to watch. And I'm so glad I met you, because I think you're just a bright light that people haven't yet seen, and now we're shining this light on you, and I hope it kind of inspires a lot of other swimmers in your country, you know.
It surely will.
Well, I got to get out there. Now, you also train yourself, right? Like you coach yourself?
Yeah, I do. I do swim on my workouts alone by myself. I do have a friend who assists me, because he's actually a swim director at one of the fitness chains. He works, you know, whenever he's free, apart from his job time, he manages to take his time out just to help me time some days. But majority, I train by myself. I coach by myself, and usually even write the workouts by myself as well, like taking inspirations from you and whatever I have experienced in the past, like from Graham, Austria, with Dirk. So I combine all this and put, like, what works for me the best, and I pursue in the pool every day.
That's right. You did tell me that you had some other life experiences before college. You lived in different countries as well. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I think I was 16, I would say, and one of the private companies called JSW, they're a steel company, which came forward and sponsored seven athletes. They had a trial back here in India, out of which seven swimmers did the workout really well. That was the trial. So Graham had come down to India. This is in 2014. And so we seven swimmers were chosen and were sent to South Africa for our higher education. So I did my high school there. And I got to train with Chad, Miles Brown, Calvin Justice, the crazy fast South African swimmers. And that was a crazy experience. And after that, a year, I was again sent to Austria to train under Dirk Lange, and we had all the breaststrokers like Giedris and youth Olympic gold medalist Nicola Obrovac training with me. That was something really surreal, which I never expected would happen. Right now, there are not a lot of programs happening. I think there's no program happening like that. The company, which I said, JSW, they have actually started their own sporting ecosystem here in our state. It's actually in a barren land, right next to the steel factory. They have a whole a sport complex which constitutes of swimming, judo, wrestling, athletics, and they have their having this, having the athletes come in and train over there. They're adopting athletes, basically. So that's what they're doing. And most of the athletes are going there. I did have an opportunity to go there, but it didn't really work for me with all the logistics and everything. So then I had to move back to India after I think 2018. So after 2018, again, I trained here in Bangalore till 21, and then headed to the US for 2 years. Right. And I got back.
Wow. So that's awesome, man. Awesome story. Well, in terms of qualifying for Paris, are you holding out any hope there? Are you still trying to qualify?
Yes, I definitely am pushing my my limits to qualify. I have to clock the a qualifying time, so I have to like seal the spot, which is 59.4. If nobody gives the a qualifying time here in India, the person with the highest FINA point goes into the Olympics. Right now, I'm standing somewhere around like fourth or fifth highest FINA point. So probably like a 59.6, 59.7 would be in a, would make me be a good contender to get over there, I would say.
Right. Who's number one right now on that list?
Right now, there is a distance swimmer named Aryan Nehra. So he swims a 3:52 in the 400 free. And then we have the 100 backstroker who swims a 53.7. So they both are pretty good. And we have the 200 flyer as well. So the 200 flyer and the 100 back, Srihari and Sajan, they are also quite close in the race as well.
Are they all training in India?
Srihari is training in India, but Sajan right now is training in Dubai. And Aryan Nehra is from the Florida University, so he's training there. So the top swimmers usually don't train in here in India.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Well, again, like I said, it just seems like there's so much talent out there, so much potential. I hope that it eventuates over time, and maybe podcasts like this will help kind of, you know, kickstart. I mean, there's money in India. I mean, some of the richest people in the world live there.
There's money over here. There's money everywhere. So the thing is, you know, it's like a clogged a drain, I would say. So the money won't flow in a well manner. So it just gets clogged into people's pockets. And then we are the ones who pay the price, I would say. So if you see, like, swimming in general in the whole world, it has not achieved that much of commercial success, I would say. But in India, it's like 10 times worse. So we have like not a lot of sponsors coming in for our national tournaments. Like there are like random climbing competition which happen here in India, which have sponsors of GoPro, Monster Energy and Red Bull. Whereas us swimming, just nothing. There's not even a single store nearby, of a swim store, I think that's where, you know, cricket is here is super big here in India, yeah. And everybody plays cricket. You go to any gully, they play cricket. The one thing that they did really well to bring up this sport is that, you know, the privatizing the federation. Bringing in a lot of private sponsors, and they hit a huge commercial success here, and they used the population, right? I would say,
right. Well, so listen, yeah. Man, India's always had heroes in cricket. We need a hero in swimming. All right, we need you to be our hero. All right, so we're gonna have to do something crazy. If that's the case, we're gonna have to go 59, right? Do something crazy and be the hero, and we'll figure it out, man, whatever it takes. So I'm going to come over to India. I'm going to help you get there. Anyone listening to this, I need help coming to India so we can create a hero, and let's get you
that. A lot of heroes, yeah. For sure, yeah. I would love that.
Yeah, listen, there's a billion, more than a billion people. I'm not expecting a billion people to watch this. I'm expecting a million to watch this. Okay, we need a million. It's not too much to ask. Anyway.
You never know.
But yeah, listen, any help I can offer you or Indian Swimming, I would love to, kickstart some things and maybe set up some pathways or whatever, or just come in and help with high performance, because it feels like there's a thirst, there's a need for some high performance injection in India right now,
That is. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I think the private companies like Tata, JSW, Reliance, these are big companies who have stepped into sporting right now. And through them, we can get you here in India. I mean, they're here. They're actually getting foreign coaches for all the other sports like judo, wrestling, athletics. All of them have a foreign coach, but swimming is lagging behind. But they are searching. Would love to have you over here.
You take this YouTube link and you email it to everybody you know and get it out there. All right?
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, man. Listen, good luck with anything. I'm always here for you if you need anything. Yeah. But keep going, man. I'm a big fan of yours, all right?
Thank you. Yes, all right. Too.
Take care, Leaky.
All right.
Bye.